By the sign of the Holy Cross, O Lord, deliver us from all that is evil. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, you have given us a new day today, Lord. A new day in our lives, giving us an opportunity, O God, to love you more, to praise you more, to adore you more, and to worship you more. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon this place. Come, Holy Spirit, take complete control of this time, this place, and every person here, Lord. Open our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we may understand you, we may understand Jesus, our Lord, and we may understand the Father. And only you, Lord, can teach us the depths of the Father's heart. Sweet loving Jesus, we sprinkle your most precious blood upon all this, every area of this place, Lord God, every chair, every pew, every person, Lord. And we claim protection from your most precious blood, Lord. And sweet Mother Mary, be with us, guide us, bless us, and keep us under your mantle of care. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters. Last week we learned and researched and shared on the and reflected on the fig tree. The homework was that each one of us reflect on our own lives and see where we stand. Have you done that in your own lives? Have you reflected? I mean, God is the witness, so you don't have to say yes or no. But I hope so. I have done a few reflections myself, and I have realized that I have more trees than fruits. Yeah, so I am trying my best to rectify that ratio. You know, there should be more fruits than trees. Now, today we come to the next chapter, which is the next verse. Sorry, the authority of Jesus questioned, verse 23, Matthew 21. Okay, somebody please read quickly. Matthew 21, verse 23.
Jesus came back to the temple, and as he taught, the chief priests and the elders came to him and asked, "What right have you to do these things? Who gave this right?" Jesus answered them, "I will ask you just one question. If you give me an answer, I will tell you what right I have to do these things. Where did John's right to baptize come from? Was it from God or from man?" They started to argue among themselves. "What shall we say? If we answer from God, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe John?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of what the people might do, because they are all convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you then by what right I do these things."
Praise the Lord. As we all know, that Jesus was in the final frenzy of his life. Okay? Everything was focused on Jesus, because the time of him was coming nearer to go to his Father, and so this was the zenith of his life as such, and so it was a peak. A lot of things were happening. I mean, he entered Jerusalem as a king on a donkey. He wiped off the temples, destroying all the traders, and he created a lot of controversy in this movements of his. And obviously, nobody wants, especially those with wicked intentions, cannot stand this. Okay, and so Jesus' authority was questioned. They began asking him, what on what authority you do it. They knew from his heart, from their hearts, and they knew maybe because he had said it before that he is the Son of God. But still, it came to such an extent that they couldn't stand it anymore. And hence they wanted to trap him. And so they put him this question, on what authority do you do these works? Now, Jesus knew their motives in their hearts for saying this. And instead of giving them, he could have said, I am the Son of God. And then what, if he had said, I am the Son of God, what would happen? If he had said, I am the Son of God at that time, what would happen? There would be a clash. Yeah, there would be a clash. They would have charged him for blasphemy. Yeah, at that very moment. Now, Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. Jesus knew that his time has come. But Jesus also knew that his right time had not come. So he did not jump. He did not jump to the bait put to him. He was wise. So he turned the tables around. He put a very silly question, looks seemingly silly question to them, and said, okay, I will answer your question if you answer one question which I put in. Okay? And then what is the question Jesus put to them? By what authority? No, did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Yeah, they are asking him for his authority. Now he's come to John the Baptist and authority and his authority, right? So from where did it come? Now the Pharisees and the priests were in a turmoil, tension, because they knew that if they say he is from God. They did not believe. Yeah. And if he says he is from God, what would have happened? Like, you know, what was going wrong to them if they had said he is from God? What would be wrong? What would contradict them? Just reflect back and see. What did John the Baptist do?
He was
the forerunner of Jesus, and then he himself said, I am not the one, but the one who is coming behind me, he is the one, and I am unworthy to untie his own sandals. So the Pharisees knew about it. The Pharisees knew that Jesus was the one about it, and still, if they said that John was doing it from the heaven, they had to accept Jesus. They had to. There was no choice because John's message was that. If they said no, he is not from heaven, then the public would have thrown them. Because now what is one of the jobs of the Pharisees and the high priest? Their job was to distinguish who is the right prophet, who is the wrong prophet. That was their job. Yeah? That to distinguish, like, you know, they should have had discernment to know that so and so first prophet is right or wrong. There were a lot of false prophets even at that time. But the Pharisees, one of the Pharisees and the high priest's job was to find out whether this prophet is correct or wrong. Now, if this John was not from the Lord, how did these Pharisees accept him? Why did they allow him to baptize and to do this thing without stopping him? So you see how Jesus, with one question, put them into a trap. They had a trap to put in for Jesus, but Jesus, in one question, put that trap to him. And they gave a very silly answer. I don't know. That is the most silliest answer a chief priest and Pharisees can give, because they are the doctors of the church. If they don't know that answer, they are not fit to be that position. Yeah. So you see how if you are trapped by the Lord, you cannot do anything. You cannot do anything. You cannot play with the Lord. Yeah. So this is what, and then Jesus said, if you cannot answer me, I cannot answer you. Straight for that, because that was that was the scenario. No, you answer my question, I will answer your question. So this in short is what this parable means. Now we go into the reflection of this parable, sister. What do you reflect, Gabriel? No? Not ready for it. What is the reflection? Now, what do we reflect into our lives on this parable? Jesus is there preaching the word of God, doing miracles. The opposition is there asking him what authority you have, in spite of looking at the miracles, in spite of seeing signs and wonders, in spite of knowing from the mouth of Jesus that I am the Son of God. Still they are reluctant to accept him. Do we do that today as well?
Yes.
In spite of the word of God saying, I am alive. In spite of the word of God saying, trust in me, walk in me. Do we say, what authority you have? Not directly maybe,
yes,
or
yes.
Indirectly.
We question. Rather than accept what God has planned.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is using his chosen instruments on this earth.
Yes.
Jesus is telling day after night, you listen, you know, and yet we just want to decide whether we listen to this one, that one, this one. We try to.
Yes. Do we still lack discernment like the Pharisees and the chief priests do? Do we discern and see, yes, what is right, yes, what is wrong? Do we still accept Jesus as the Son of God, or do we still take him for granted that he just came and went?
We lack obedience, brother.
Yes.
We lack obedience. If there was only obedience in this entire universe, we would have been so close to Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah, so obedience and humility.
Yes. So as sister said, we lack obedience and humility at this moment, at this very time. And we still question the authority of God. So for those moments that we have retaliated, knowingly or unknowingly, and directly or indirectly, we should ask God for forgiveness and say, Lord Jesus, once again, I accept you as my Lord and Master. Forget the rest. We are talking about individuals now. I accept you as my Lord and Master. You are the Son of God who came for me, right? And that is what I want. Nothing else than that. And when Jesus comes into our lives, everything else follows. Yeah? Any questions, any doubts on this? Any comments on this? Any observations on this? Anything that...
Faith.
Yeah. Faith, yes. And actually accepting Jesus, like here Jesus is not accepted. Yeah. Even today, like how many times we do some things that Jesus would not like. That means we are not accepting Jesus in our day-to-day affairs, in our day-to-day things. You know, we do something contrary to what the Lord says. Yeah. So if we are okay with that, shall we go to the next one? The parable of the two sons. Read somebody.
What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, Son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he went to the second and said the same, and he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two with the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe him.
Yes. Now what does this parable teach us? It's a parable of the two sons. A father goes to his first son and says, go and work in the vineyard. And the son answers, I will not. Father goes away, goes to the second son. And he says, the same question. And then the second son answers, I will go, sir, but did not go. But the first son, who abruptly said, I will not go, later went and did the job. Who is the better of the two sons? The first one, who said no and then went. But is, now, out of these two sons, who is an ideal son? out of these two sons, who is the ideal son? Whom you would you choose as an ideal son? The first or the second?
First.
Both
are not ideal.
Both are not ideal. The answer is both are not ideal. Neither of them obey. I mean, one said abrupt no. The second one said yes and no. Yeah. So neither of them were ideal sons. What would have been an ideal son? When a father says, "Son, will you go?" Yes, father, I will go, and I will do the work. And he comes, does the work, and brings glory to his father. That is the ideal son. But here is a parable showing two not ideal sons, not two weak sons, right? Giving two different answers and two results. One said yes and did not go. One said no and went. What does it indicate in today's sort of thing? What does this parable sort of teach us today? Does it teach us to be one of the two? Or does it teach us to be neither of the two?
Neither of the two and be obedient.
Neither of the two and be obedient.
Obedient.
You need to be two in one.
Faith.
Yeah.
See, no, I remember there was a preaching that faith, because as we just said in the chapel, that a human mind cannot digest the marvel, Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. No, nobody. Not you. Just bring something. You cannot imagine.
Yeah.
How can Jesus be there? But your faith in the silence of your heart, you believe.
Yeah.
And you ask Jesus to give you that grace to believe. That is,
yeah.
Obedience. So then you just. Then there is no reasoning. No human reasoning. Whether it is true or not. Gift of discernment. But you believe your. Because you know, Jesus is the Son of the living God.
This parable,
you know? No, but these two sons all reflect back, So it is step by step, right? Even to what the fig tree cursed, or it was something to have a significance with what is about the prophets do, usually. About teaching them about what it means about wrath or destruction or whatever, it was told to them in a fig tree. Now when he was, after that he was in the courtyard, teaching, healing. There he was doing the will of God, while inside there was all worship going on to the climax, but nothing was going accordingly. It was more like the fig tree. Here also you can see the thing about two sons. One is doing the father's work, what he wants him to do. Other is doing just the opposite. Both want to do the father's work. It's not they don't want to do. Yes? And both are father's sons. One does it very differently. One does it, just the opposite, which is not taken into. Like, from the Pharisees to the Old Testament, you can take. Yeah? And the coming now of the new one. So here it go, he is telling about the two sons, those that have everything and have nothing, and those who really want to. It's like how you have said later on, we need to prune ourselves and bear fruit. That is the child who wants to. These are the two children, and the about that fig tree. It applies to us. Sometimes we have these two personas in us. Our own selves, we carry the same. Yeah? And we say, okay. And we keep on doing things that are superficial. Like, let me not come against anybody here. Let me not come against anybody here. There are some who would love to be only lectors. Because they have been blessed with good voice. Or sing for the glory only, that much, cream and get out. But there are some who want to go down to the base level of getting into the same, the charities, this, reaching out, your hospital visit. Who told you? Did church tell you? No, but that's way of you reaching out. Could be there, could be somebody on the road. These are the two children where God is seeking mercy. One is the one, everything, who wants to do the father's will and feels that is it. Like the Sanhedrin, the priests, they thought, okay, doing this much, taking this, offering incense two times, praying like that, we have our own brother in Islam who pray 5 times a day, and one of the sect goes and kills and says jihad. Who is doing the father's will? Who is doing? My father is a father of mercy and compassion, who does not want blood, who wants peace. What is his will? Now he is telling, go out to the field and do my work. He is telling, I am sending you in a vineyard which is ripe for harvest. I am asking you to gather it. So who are the two children who are gathering that harvest? And what way are you gathering it? That's your reflection.
We must have noticed so many people, especially in our churches, this happens in the churches, where you know you'll find them doing everything. You'll find them being in every services, every doing this. But then you see that's only superficial. You will not find them reaching out to the poor, touching somebody who really requires. Just church work. Yeah? There you'll find certain people who never come to church as well. Yeah, who are completely in the doldrums. But you look at them. Whenever there's an opportunity to help somebody, they will help. They will go. Now you look at these people in Bombay. We call them gundas, no? There are so many of these rough type guys who are very good of heart. Now we don't know what made them that state. But you know, sometimes they are the ones who will go and help people. Huh? That's why they said the prostitutes and harlots are coming, are doing the work there, but not the people. Some people are just doing, even preachers. Some are just preaching the word of God, but when the time comes to teach somebody or to help somebody, they are far away. They are just preaching. They are not doing the work. They are not doers of the work. But there are some people who are not considered. They don't even have seen the church. Maybe they don't even know who God is. But in their heart, there is love. There is pity. They know when two. Now look at why go further. Suddenly this thing of the Good Samaritan comes to my mind. Yeah? The priest went off without looking. And who? The Samaritan. The downtrodden person that time. So the Samaritans were treated as low. He helps the guy. You know? So see. Now we are. I'm not suggesting that we be the second lot who did the job. Both the people are not the right people to do it. What we have to learn is that, no, we have to be also preachers of the word, teachers of the word, doers of the word in the church, and also help the people around. You know, be none of the two, but the best of the two. Now see the first son, the second son. No, the first son said no, right, and went. The second son said, gave the respect to the father. You know, he called him sir. Yes, sir, I will do it. You know, with what? So father was thought, wow, this guy will do it. But what happens? Nothing. So have we, like, you know, what is the point for reflection today? Now, are we saying yes to people and not doing things? And this matters even very much for prayer, when people ask you prayer request. Yes, sir, brother, sister, I will pray for you. Huh? And where? That prayer never, there's not an intention has come to that prayer. Yeah, never. I mean, this is a very serious thing. When you say, yes, I will pray for somebody, make sure you at least say a small prayer to remember that person. It's a very serious thing, because that person depends on your prayer. Yeah? So many times we say, yes, brother, don't worry, you know, but you have forgotten. I'm inclusive. But now I realize the value of it, and I make a small note on a prayer, this thing, and take it to the Lord. At least one time I will say that prayer because there are so many intentions. But you know, one of these examples are this. And sometimes, like, people will really go. I remember one there was a brother in our prayer group before, long time back, James from Sri Lanka. He had a book, you know, a full book, and every day he used to read those names. I'm talking about 10-15 pages of this thing. And he had a nice habit of, once the prayer was answered, he used to write the date of it, and he used to thank God for it. I mean, I've seen only one person like that so far in my life. I tried to do it. I did it for 2 days and left it off. You know, I couldn't do it. But this is what I call is really the burden for the people. You know, to just pray. You could ask him. He'll ask you suddenly, you know, brother, is that brother, you know, healed? Is that the sin? And they should rejoice. You know, I never saw that enthusiasm in a person so far. And I tried to copy him, but I didn't work. It didn't work. Okay, so this is our example for us to be neither like the two sons, but be the perfect son of God. Because Jesus says, no, I want you to be perfect like my father. And perfection means what? yes and do, and not yes and not any other options. Yes, yes Lord, I am here, and yes Lord, I will do it, and I will complete it. Next, we go to the parable of the wicked tenants. The parable of the wicked tenants.
Here another parable. There was a householder who planned a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to tenants and went into another country. When the season of the first drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit, and the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent older servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Afterward he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons.
Now Jesus is here telling us another parable. Yeah? The parable is very simple to understand. It's nothing. There's nothing complicated in this parable to understand as far as the construction of this parable is concerned. But why is Jesus telling this parable to us? You know, why? What is the reason for it? What does he want to imply to us in this thing? A vineyard was given out on rent. Yeah, not given out on rent. Actually, it was given. The owner was there. He gave it out to his people. To said, do whatever it is and give me my share of it and all that stuff. And then the time comes when the share, the people who are running it is not willing to give his own share. That is the basic of all that whole thing. But what does it teach us? What does Jesus want to teach us in this? Of course, one of the very obvious thing I guess is he wants to teach us that you have to give what is due to your due to him. Yeah? Like, you know, he has given you something, you have not given it back. Right? What are the other things you can get in this?
Here this parable reflects to the previous. We said both the sons were not fit. Then who was fit? Yeah? The father approaches the first and he says, my child, will you do my will? What I want you to do. You know, there is a vineyard there. So, will you go? Yes? And the first one says, no, I am scared to do all this, looking at the vast land. I don't know how to do it. And father says, okay, this man will not do. So he goes to the second. Yeah, ask him. And he says, I will do, don't worry, I will do. I will take care of your people. I will handle your people. This is how to handle. But then what happens? He doesn't go. There is a delay in what God wants to do. Why? Because he has had a big vineyard. Yes? And what is there? What is about vineyard? Vineyard of what? Vineyard means what? Fruit. Grapes. Okay? And wine is considered as a luxury. That can get you into a different realm of, you know, see, like St. Paul says, don't be drunk with the wine of the grapes. Yeah? But be drunk with the spirit. Okay? Here he has dug the wine press, he's saying, so that you may drink. Yes? Now here, the Pharisees and the scribes, they are enjoying the glory. It was given to them. The vineyard is given to them. Come on, gather my people. You know? Bring good out of them. Yes? The Father is giving them. And here what is happening? They don't want to let the glory out. So what they are doing? Father is sending somebody, you know, to take an account of what is happening. Let them be screened well. Because you all need to give an account. You all should be doing. But what they are doing? They are slaughtering prophets. They are slaughtering all that come. Because they don't want to be questioned. They have even come to Jesus to ask, who gave you the authority to heal? We are to heal. We are to forgive. who has given you? So he tells, there is one more there who is doing the same father's work there. Who gave him the authority? And that too, he is giving a baptism of forgiveness of sins. Yes, and people consider him as prophets while you are considered as zero standing in those temples there. Yes, here so he is telling about the same thing. It is reflecting to the same. And we said both were not fit. And so what the father says, he looks after his senses, the third one who will obey and do, who will say at first attempt, here I am, and do the work, all the two together. And it is Jesus who is sent the third time, right? And what do? They crucify him. They kill him. Yes, and the father is angry, and we are all brought to judgment, right? Now, it all relates, you know. Now the relation goes. He says, you people who were called to do this collection have never done. You will not be under entering into and given an account of your share there for eternity. But who will be given? Where now? Now what? Jesus was allowed in the temple that time? No, means when he did he go? People all went to offer sacrifices, right? He was so upset with all that was going, and he hit them, turned them, the tables over, and he sat outside in the corridors. What did he do there? Healing, preaching. He was doing that work. And who you think were the ones who came? Mary of Magdala, the sick, the sinners, all they were coming. So they understood God much more than those who were inside. Everything was happening in the corridors, but they were neglecting him and were going in to do that rituals. Yes? So what are we? What are we? And where are we? Actually, we, the same year, the reflection, as brother said, how are we crucifying the Lord over again? How are we crucifying him? Tell me, how are we crucifying him? I don't know why this scripture is. It is impossible in Hebrews 6:4 for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gifts, who have tasted the goodness of the word and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. What did I speak?
Those are already matured.
Those who have experienced God, and even sometimes it happens to us, we experience God, we know who is Holy Spirit, we have that relationship, we have experienced that first love, and we, knowing everything, we fall. And we are that person who actually have experienced that enlightenment, and we crucify God again. That also, we cannot say unknowingly, knowingly.
How?
By disobeying.
Give me one example, just simple one. What way are you disobeying me? You might be feeling I'm not disobeying.
Anger. By getting angry. Simple.
Yeah, angry what? Actually, all of us children of God, have to remember in the first place, I am born. If you take scientifically, I am born by a biological mother or a father, out of their love, I am born. But if you take scripture wise, my birth was predestined. So was Mary's birth, instead of those age, this age. Okay? Now, when you have been predestined, I could be born into a non-Catholic family or anybody, anywhere else. But I am blessed, I am born to this religion where I can... I know my God well. Okay. Now, God has created, please remember always, these are the three elements that hold the foundation of your life. You are born first. Don't do anything but love him. Second, to serve him. And third, to be with him. To be with him, your these two should be proper. Otherwise, you cannot. You simply cannot. You lose it. Okay? Now, you are created as a child. Your parents are, they are your vineyard holders. They train you. They bring you up. They prune you. Everything. Disciplining, no? We discipline our children very well. But ask us, we will never do it. We will slap. Why, eh? Why you did this? I told you not to do this. But God will tell you, my child, don't do this. This is harmful for your life. You should not do it. It will ruin your life with your anger, with your whatever you have. It will ruin. But we will say, okay, Lord. For us, we know that God is not direct. If the wrath of God comes, we are destroyed. Finished. Yeah? So, we have to know how to love God and have that communion with Him. We are faltering and we go, you know, this, if we don't have communion with Him and we do all superficial things saying that I serve God. You are not serving God, but you are serving your self desires, your self image. Oh, I want, people should know me. Are you in the real sense there to praise God? Are you there to proclaim the word of God? Are you there, even in the church, I'm talking you simple Sunday practice. Are you there, Lord, in the first part begins, I confess God for who I am. Have mercy on me. Does it begin that way? If you are a congregation, if you are a lector, does it begin with proclaiming and you refining yourself? Can I proclaim the word? Where in those Samaritan times, that priest passed away because once in a year he got a chance and he said, if I touch this man, I will be unclean. He was right in his way. Which way are we clean? Which way are we not crucifying God back again? It is not only killing a person, it is not only slandering. You have lost communion with God. Your spirit has lost connection with your Creator. Okay? It's about sons doing the work. Which son am I? Am I same like Jesus? Because I wear, no? As I said, priest how? We say Christians, no? We say priest how means simple for us to understand. I am Christ. In Antioch, the people got their name Christ, Christians. They, that means Christ-like. They are so much like Christ. They are bearers of Christ. No matter which way you are slaughtered in martyrdom by insulting, humiliation, persecution. But God will exalt you. So, which child are you? Are you from those two? Or are you someone whom the third one God is going after? They said they'll do their work, they did in the one time and one of them did not do. But he's going, because see, when I say, okay, two sons he had, yes, the two, but if nobody is doing the work, he goes to the third one. Will you help me do that? Because I need that work to be done. Okay? So, that's how.
There are many more angles to this parable, you know. First of all, this parable also tells you about, much about God. God's this thing. And what does it tell? It tells us that God's, it shows us God's trust for man. He gave that vineyard to those people. He did not stand there and command them like a police Judas do that. He gave it on trust and he left it. He went away. He gave it on trust. Today also, he does the same thing. He entrusts some jobs to you and he doesn't wait to see how you do it. He says, he gives you wisdom to do it. He gives you the tools you require to do it. So he, first of all, God, we find God's trust in Him. Secondly, we find God's patience in this parable. Now, it is not only the first person they kill and they send. They have disturbed a lot of people before. The son was the last to come, but everybody he sends. They have hit him, they have destroyed him, and they have gone. But he could have taken the rock, what the very first person he sent, when he came injured, he should have said, see, any other father would do that. He would have gone, they have killed you like that, let's go and take revenge. No. He waits, he takes patience, he sends another one. Yeah, he sends a third one. And so on. So God, this gives us the grace that God is patient. He doesn't punish you at that very moment. He knows you are a sinner. But he gives you time. He gives you time. Time and again he allows you to, gives you time to rectify yourself. Another aspect of God is, it tells of God's judgment. That God is not going to continuously give you these chances. One day is judgment day. And then there is no time for you left. That is gone. And the worst thing is that, see, what did God do here? He took away the vineyard and gave it to the other people. You know, suppose he's given you a gift which you are not using. He will not hesitate to take it from you and give it to somebody else. And that will be the lowest of lowest to be in a state where God takes away your gift because you're not using it and gives it to somebody else. Can you imagine that thing? So whatever we have, you know, whatever gifts you have, use it. Because if you don't use it, as Sister Jasna said, the job has to be done. So if you don't do it, somebody else will do it. God will take it from you, give it to somebody else. Because you're not doing it.
The Jews were called to be God's children. Yeah. They did not do the job. So who got it? Gentiles got it.
Now these are the things we saw about God. Now there are things which we see about men, about us, you know, people. Now for example, men have got human privilege. Now when God gave them the vineyard, he gave them with everything. The tower, the press, and everything. He equipped them well. He didn't just give them and say, okay, you should do it. You know, he gave them with all the privileges that man requires. The similar things with us. He gives you, whenever he gives you a job, he gives you the tools. He gives you the privileges so that you can do your job unhindered. Then secondly, it tells us of human freedom. Those people had a freedom. They could do the job, they could not do the job. They could get the wine or not get the wine. They had God give them the freedom. The same thing today. God is giving us freedom to do what we have to do. You can use that freedom for God's glory, or you can use the freedom for our own destruction. Not doing the freedom of God is creating our own destruction. Then thirdly, it tells us of the human answerability. It tells you about human answerability. We are answerable to God. We have to answer. He comes and asks you to different people, have you done this? Can you give me this thing? Can you get this thing? And we don't answer. That means we are hiding away from God. So this is the privilege God has given us, human answerability. We are always answerable to God. That you know, are we doing your job right or are you not? God will ask you, maybe directly or too indirectly, that are you doing your job better? So answerability is a privilege that God has given us. And fourthly, he is showing us about our deliberateness of our sinfulness. Time and again, we are sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. It's deliberate. You know, they know that another prophet will come, they'll kill him. Another prophet will come, they'll show him. Another prophet will come, they'll kill him. So, aren't we doing this in our own personal life? Time and again, we know we are falling into the same sin because although we know that we are not sinning, God doesn't like it. So, we are comparable to this parable. So, it tells us about man's continual sinfulness. But God is patient, that's why he's blessing him. Now, this parable also tells you about Jesus himself. Yeah? This is the one place where Jesus claims himself to be the Son of God. Openly, very, very strongly. He claims himself. Now, God sent the prophets. They came as prophets. But then Jesus came as the Son of God. And he clearly says that I am the Son of God. He has come not as a prophet, but he has come as God's heir to the throne. Yeah, as God's heir to that press. It also tells us of Jesus' sacrifice. Now, Jesus knew that he would be killed. But he came. In spite of knowing that he will be killed, he came. He was not killed accidentally. He was not killed because of timidity. He didn't say like, maybe I will go, maybe they'll kill me, maybe not. No, he knew for sure that they will kill him. And yet he came. He came not out of cowardice, but he came to show that he is the Son of God and he has come to sacrifice his life for us. How many times do we sacrifice ourselves for the love of God? So this parable teaches us so many things here. And ultimately it says that Jesus was the cornerstone rejected by the builders. And that cornerstone turned out to be the main stone without which we cannot do anything without Jesus. In our own lives, how many times have we rejected because of Jesus? There is hope for those who are rejected. We are, being with Jesus, we are also part of that cornerstone. Yeah, you will be killed, you will be insulted, you will be brought down. But if you are with Jesus, you know that you are a part and parcel of that cornerstone, and you know nothing can happen to you. You are you ready to sacrifice with Jesus what has been given to you? Or are you going to, you know, say, no, that's not my cup of tea, and I will go my way? So in other words, Jesus is saying, like, no, yes, when the Father sends you, be ready to be sacrificed, be ready to give yourself up to you. Is it easy? No. But it is a requirement if you want to serve Jesus in the right way. Insults, crucifixion, giving yourself up is all part and parcel of the deal. But then there's a great reward in heaven. And then we know that particular, you are that particular cornerstone that nobody can do, can touch you. And without that cornerstone, the erection cannot be done. It is the main thing which holds people together. Right? Before we go into the next chapter, because the next one has got a lot of more reflections, we will, I think it's 25, we will wind up here. And today we don't have many people because there have been some. So it's a nice time, you can drive slowly to the hospital instead of rushing. For a change. Okay? Sorry, sir. What is the homework for this week? Come on, you all tell me, what is the homework this week?
Reflect on our lives.
Reflect on our lives? On what grounds?
The word of God, what we heard.
Yeah, on what, like, no, you know, the vineyard part, the sun part, or what? Or a combination of all?
Combination of all. I would like you to reflect on one thing that we have missed, the watchtower. Reflect, I want you to go into that. The Father builds, digs a wine press there. He puts a fence around. And he also puts a
watchtower.
I want you to reflect on the watchtower.
There is a purpose for that watchtower, which you all will tell us next time. Okay? Father God, we praise and thank you for this class today. You have shown us, Father, the dimensions of your love. Your trustworthiness with us, your patience with us, your pleasure with us. But Father, we are still those hard-hearted people who crucify your Son on a daily basis by our actions and inactions. Father, thank you for touching our hearts today. And Father, we pray, help us not to continue to be murderers, but help us to amend our lives, understand who your Son Jesus is, and be the cornerstone with him every day of our lives, so that you will be glorified, Lord, and we will get our reward in heaven because you are a just God. Father, as our team goes to the hospital for their visit, send forth your Spirit before them, Lord. To every patient that is lingering on those beds there, Lord. Speak, Lord, through these children's mouth and let your word touch their hearts and heal them, Lord God. You sent your word and healeth our disease, is what the psalmist says, Lord. Amen. Lord, let them go with your word and heal the disease, Lord God, because you are the healer, Lord, and we and these people, Lord God, are your instruments, Lord, to do it. Thank you, Lord, for choosing each one of us in the way that you have given us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting a job for each one of us, Lord God. And Lord, if we haven't started doing the work that you want us to do, Lord, help us to do that, to begin right now, Lord God. Reveal to us, Lord God, your purpose that you have for each one of us, and give us the grace of God to say yes to your call and to complete that work that you've given us, Lord God. As we travel, Lord God, we pray for your blessing upon our vehicles, Lord God. Take us safely, Lord God. And help us to spend this week, Lord God, in communion with you, Lord God, so that we may understand who you are, understand your Son, and not keep on crucifying your Son on a daily basis, Lord God. Thank you once again for your love, Lord God, for your patience with us, Lord God. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
And all God's children say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Have a wonderful week ahead.
Watchtower.
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 Watchtower. sister, you know, this is a CV, you know, which I've got photographs. I mean, just give it for the magazine for that. You know, there are many of us. There are